Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Tourists have become increasingly unwelcome in some of Europe's most popular destinations in recent weeks as heated protests against mass tourism took place in cities like Barcelona and in Rome. But one city that appears to be bucking that trend is Copenhagen. The Danish capital yesterday started a project to reward climate-friendly and well-behaved tourists with perks. We're going to hear more about that shortly. But first, let's find out about the protests in Spain, in Italy and in the Netherlands. I'm joined firstly by Sarah Morris, Spain correspondent with France 24. So Sarah, will you tell us more about these anti-tourist protests?
Yes, they've been happening around Spain, particularly on the Canary Islands and in coastal areas and cities where there's a lot of tourists. And the most recent ones really which caught people's eye outside Spain now was in Barcelona, because the demonstrators, there were almost 3,000 demonstrators marching through the streets of Barcelona. They actually approached restaurants where tourists, English-speaking tourists, were sitting, and they sprayed them with water pistols. And some of the families were pretty shocked and got up and took their children away from having lunch. So there were lots of restaurants who were quite critical of that action. They also, those protesters, taped off the restaurant with kind of a security tape, as if to say that it was a no-go area, all the while chanting, "Tourists go home, Barcelona not for sale." And basically these are part of tourist movements organised by local groups or by environmental groups. Many of them are left-wing groups, and basically what they say is that the arrival of foreign tourists is saturating cities, is driving up the rental and the mortgage prices, and that it's unsustainable.
Okay, and the short-term lets, I know, is a huge problem, isn't it, in Barcelona and in other places too, where local people just can't find a home.
That's right, particularly because there are parts of Barcelona where there are entire blocks which are being used for short-term lets. And in response to that, the Barcelona mayor has basically promised people that from 2028, there will be no more tourist short-term rentals in flats, that those flats will become available for the rental or the ordinary sale market. He's had a lot of kickback from the tourist industry and lobby for that, basically saying that these short-term rentals are essential because there are no more spaces in the hotel section. That's been capped for a long time. And many local businesses saying that they are absolutely reliant on the 26 million visitors that stayed, for instance, last year for a night in Barcelona, driving the local economy.
Now, if you're staying for a night in Barcelona, at least there's probably some prospect of you spending some money in Barcelona. But if you're getting off a cruise ship to walk around for the day and getting back on the cruise ship to have your dinner, you can understand why that's particularly irritating for local residents.
Indeed, and that's been a big bugbear, really, for locals living in Barcelona. They say these cruise ships are coming in at an extraordinary rate, and people are not spending money in local businesses. And that said, because of the pressure, there have been a lot of work that's gone on with the cruise ship operators, and they have actually redistributed a bit the arrivals and cut down on some of the dockings. So, for instance, when it's off-peak in November, then the cruise ships can bring in more visitors. And that way they're trying to reduce the impact and make it more beneficial to locals.
Sarah, in Spain, thank you very much. Let's go to Italy, where the fight against over-tourism includes stopping tourists from lingering on bridges. Josephine McKenna is a freelance journalist who's based in Rome and joins us now. Hello, Josephine.
Good morning, Claire.
You live right in the heart of one of the areas that is, or sees itself, or some residents there sees it as a victim of over-tourism.
That's right. I live in the heart of Rome in a district called Trastevere that some of your listeners might be familiar with. We have been completely overrun with tourists particularly since COVID. And one of the figures that's been bandied about by the residents groups is that 45% of the locals have moved out of the area. I live in a street that has two restaurants down below, and there's always a queue of tourists waiting to get into those restaurants. At the back of my place, I have a former monastery that's been turned into an Airbnb, and it has a courtyard where there's a lot of noise, and I've been yelling out of the window to keep people quiet late at night.
And is there anyone who can help you with that? Are there any controls in the area to close things down at a reasonable time?
Well, I'll give you an interesting example. A neighbour of mine called the police recently because her apartment overlooks the street to ask for their intervention regarding late night street noise. And they said, "You live in Trastevere, what do you expect?" There's a piazza nearby where there are spontaneous rave parties late at night and music full of hundreds of people. And I stopped the police one night and said, "How can you allow this to happen?" And the police officer looked at me and said, "These people have as much right to be here as you do." So how is that a viable option when you think about security late at night on our streets?
Does that make you think about where you're living and where you might live in the future?
Yes, it does. I've lived in this particular apartment for over 10 years and I've lived in Trastevere for nearly 20 years. And if you look at options, long-term options are very grim in this city because of the dominance of Airbnb. It's very difficult to find long-term rentals. So I'm not that positive about looking for other locations, and it would be more expensive to move, I think, as well.
Okay, there are some actions being taken, though, official actions to try to control what's happening in Rome. I mentioned there the fines for sitting on the Spanish steps for a photo opportunity. So that could cost you €250 in a fine if you do it.
Look, that's a very small thing. I think we're talking about a massive inflow of tourists. We're expecting 30 million pilgrims next year with the Vatican Jubilee year. This is a massive amount of people, and we're seeing an increase in the numbers of people who are being pickpocketed. There was a metro station shut down on Saturday night when two rival gangs of pickpockets clashed with tourists. Yesterday, a woman was robbed of her Rolex watch in the middle of the street in central Rome. You know, this sort of thing is happening more and more, and I just think the authorities are failing to keep up with security and managing this inflow effectively.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a day tripper's entry fee introduced in Venice. Is that something that has worked and might be transferred and introduced in Rome?
The residents groups say that has not worked at all. It's generated plenty of cash. I'm not sure of the total figure. I've seen around €2 million generated with this trial scheme charging €5 a day for tourists. That number, incidentally, that fee is expected to be double next year to €10. That hasn't stopped people flowing into the city. Thousands of day trippers are still pouring into Venice. Now, what is that money being used for? I think that's a really valid question.
All right, Josephine, thank you for bringing us the picture from Rome. Let's go to Amsterdam now. There were new rules brought in there at the start of the year to encourage visitors to see the Dutch capital through the eyes of the locals. So let's find out how that's working with journalist Shanai Bostas, who's on the line. So Shanai, tell me about that. How is that working and how is it being done?
Well, Amsterdam has been trying for some time to encourage fewer of the party tourists and more of the cultural tourists. So they've had various different campaigns. There's not new rules as such, but last year they had a campaign trying to get British louts to stay away, especially the young men who party a lot. Now they're trying to encourage more other types of tourists. One thing they're doing that's a concrete rule is they're trying to shut down the cruise ship terminal in the centre of town, which will take a few years. And they're also cutting down on the number of river cruises that that we have in the city, with that same idea as in other places, that river tourists don't cruisers don't spend as much because they eat all their meals on board, they sleep aboard, and they add to just the busyness in the city. But the problem is we're going to have more than 23 million tourists this year.
It's extraordinary. And the short-term lets, which we've heard about in particular in Spain, but also in Italy, as Josephine was outlining there, is that a problem in Amsterdam and is it being addressed?
Yes, absolutely. Amsterdam was the first place actually to broker an agreement with Airbnb that people could rent out for 60 days a year. They've brought that back to 30 days a year. In order to rent out, you have to have be registered with the city and have permission, and your number has to be attached to any advertisement on the Airbnb or Booking or wherever. But there's still a sense that, that some houses are not quite making it into the supply of houses for the city. And we have a huge, huge housing crisis in the Netherlands. And people carry on putting some of their flats on Airbnb or short-term lets. And there are still illegal hotels, of course.
And this effort to try and shed the image of Amsterdam as being a party town, is that working at all? Is there a new type of tourist looking for a different experience coming to the city?
Not discernibly. I mean, we still have people coming in and using laughing gas in their cars, sleeping in their cars and driving back to France and Germany. And yeah, how do you change the image of a city when you don't want to tell the world that it's boring? You want to tell people that it's great and beautiful and free. Yeah, it's a tricky one.
So still people are coming there for a good time, and that is causing problems with the residents, obviously and clearly.
Absolutely. I mean, some people who live in the red light district say, I'm just sick of people coming, party tourists, vomiting on my house, screaming at 3 a.m. in the morning when they're drunk. And of course, the acoustics of the city are terrible, and people, because of the historic rules, can't have double glazing. So it's a huge problem. And some residents have threatened to take the city to court for not being able to stick to this barrier of 20 million tourists that they'd agreed.
Tell me, is tourism very valuable and important as an economic driver for Amsterdam?
Maybe less so than other places. I mean, it's a big city. It's a capital city. They reckon that about a tenth of jobs are related to tourism, and it does raise a lot of money at a time when the city is desperately short of money. But it's not the only thing in the city. You could make choices about how you see your economic growth and how you see your economic model, and tourism doesn't have to be part of it.
All right, Shanai, thank you very much. Shanai there in Amsterdam. Let's go to Copenhagen yesterday. Yesterday started a new initiative for tourists in an effort to encourage more socially and environmentally conscious behaviour. And I'm joined from there by Elizabeth Ann Brown, who's a freelance journalist in Denmark. And thank you, Elizabeth, for being with us. So what's involved in this new initiative for tourists, and what is the aim?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to emphasize that Copenhagen does not see anywhere near the crush of humanity from tourists that these other cities that we've heard from do. Last year, we logged more than 12 million overnight visitors, but we simply don't have the day trippers coming in that plague so many of these other cities. But this new program is called CopenPay. It's a pilot program that hopes to transform tourism from an environmental burden into a force for positive change, according to the tourism board. So it will reward green choices by offering little freebies to tourists who opt to use public transportation or arrive at attractions on foot or by bike. So that can mean an organic beer on a rooftop bar or a euro off a museum ticket. A lot of them do require a separate purchase, and several of the rewards are cups of filter coffee. But if you're willing to invest more time and energy and, say, work in an urban garden for a few hours, you'll get to share a communal meal.
So who is paying for this? Who's paying for the free beer and the little reward, even if it is a filter coffee? Who's bearing the cost of that?
The businesses themselves. So it's a volunteer program. So far, 24 businesses and museums have signed up to participate. The government is not reimbursing them. So it seems to have been coordinated by the tourism board, but is not funded by the government.
So this is rewards for good behavior. How do you prove that you arrived on foot or on a bicycle?
Well, in Danish style, it's very much a system of social trust. So I think the most that you'll have to do is either show a public transport ticket or a picture. One museum requires a picture of your bike outside. But most of the locations, it seems, will just take you at your word.
Now I see.
Very Danish in spirit.
I see, Elizabeth, one of the rewards, which seems very generous, is a free boat tour. How do you manage to get that?
Well, you're out of luck already. One wrinkle of the program, which is both a benefit and perhaps a challenge to tourists trying to use this, is it's also open to Danes and Copenhagen residents. What does appear to be the best reward, which is a free boat ride, is already booked up for the full trial period, which ends on August 11th.
Okay. And it's expected that the trial then will be rolled out to a longer term project, is it?
That's the hope. So today is the second day of the program, and everyone's eager to see what the uptake percentages are. I think that there's an element of this that is largely symbolic, because in Copenhagen, it's hard to avoid traveling by public transportation, by foot or by bike. So a lot of the rewards are easy to obtain and should see some substantial uptake.
So are you saying then that tourism is not such a big issue for people in Copenhagen when it comes to housing, for example, short-term lets, crowded streets? You're not seeing the same level of problem and difficulty as they are in Rome, for example?
It's absolutely nothing like somewhere like Rome or Amsterdam or anywhere like that. We very, very rarely, there's only a couple streets in town where you might see like a crush of humanity during what we refer to as high tourist season. And while the housing market is very competitive here, there's a housing shortage. They're not going to Airbnbs. It's just a lack of stock in the housing market. We just don't have enough of beds. But I think the biggest Danish reaction to tourists is that they are prone to stepping into bike lanes without realizing it. But that is the main concern that Danes seem to have.
That can happen just about anywhere. Elizabeth, thank you very much. That's Elizabeth Ann Brown there from Denmark. We heard from Sarah Morris in Spain, Josephine McKenna in Italy, and Shanai Bostas, who is based in Amsterdam.